Welcome, dear friends, to the Message of Truth. This is Brother Fon Miller, speaker on the broadcast, director of Way of Truth Ministries, and it's a delight to have you with us. We're going to be talking about the principles of a spiritual life found here in Colossians. We're in chapter 1. We'll be starting with verse 20, finding that part of that spirituality is peace that God gives us through the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope it'll be a real blessing to your heart. Any way we can be of spiritual help to you, please give us a contact us by email or going into the website, finding the department that you need help from, and we'll try to be as helpful as we possibly can with the Word of God. But let's go to the Lord in prayer and then to the message. Again, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege it is ours to study the Word of God. And we can just say, praise the Lord for how you have worked. And Lord, we even think of even the ministry of Way of Truth and for the many years, 30 years that you've given us to serve you. And hopefully and prayerfully, we've tried to do that in a way that would glorify you. And Lord, as we bring the messages today, that we might really get down to the very heart of each one of us, that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, and then that some might be saved. Oh, how wonderful it be to hear that somebody has come to know Jesus Christ, whom to know aright is life eternal. May you be glorified. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Empty and broken, I came back to him, a vessel unworthy, so scarred with sin. But he did not despair, he started over again, and I blessed the day, he didn't throw the clay away.
How wonderful that thought is. I was thinking of the potter that's given to us in the Old Testament. He is making a vessel on the wheel, and it gets flawed while he makes it. He doesn't throw the clay away. He takes out the imperfection. Yes, discards that, but he makes that vessel over again that we can be usable in his service. How wonderful it is. That's a great song. He didn't throw the clay away. And, you know, that's kind of where we're at. We're talking about this fullness of God, which we did last week, and try to bring out the fact that we have everything we need in Christ to live a spiritual life. And that's exactly what God wants us to do. I wanted to share something with you. I have read a couple of those last week. I'm going to read a couple others, but then we're going to get into the next thought of him giving us peace. But I want you to see something. You know, we read here in verse number 16 that that by him were all things created that are in heaven and in earth. And we talked about the thrones and principalities. Then we read the latter part of that verse, all things were created by him and for him. Then verse 17 says, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Do you know that principalities and powers that we're fighting against today didn't come as a shock to the Lord Jesus nor to God? They knew it would happen. Yet all of that belongs to the Lord. One day he's going to claim it right all back. But right now, he's dealing with your heart and mine. But if you notice this, and in verse 17, it says, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. In verse 18, we read there that in all things, the latter part, he might have the preeminence. In verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. So everything about God, everything about the Christian life, everything about this being spiritual in this Christian life are all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. So if we not only are saved by his blood, that's when we can be saved, but we have everything else through Christ. And so everything else I'm going to tell you is based upon what we just looked at in the first part here, the first chapter, or I should say the first 19 verses of this chapter. Look at verse 20. He's produced in us. Now, we're talking about being spiritual. Well, here is an aspect that you and I need in our lives to really be spiritual. We can say we're spiritual all day long, but if we don't have this aspect, we're still not spiritual. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. You can jump right back up to verse 16. The dominion, principalities, powers, all those things. You see, we have peace through the blood of his cross. By him to reconcile all things unto himself. Now, that is God's job. But you see, as I accept his peace, Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. The world wants to take away our peace. You know, you may have one nation wanting to have peace. You have another nation that wants to attack them so they can have peace. You see, there's no peace. There's no rest, saith my God, to the wicked. And so they will look at every aspect and all the good things you would try to do to an individual to help them and encourage them, they'll try to turn it back against you if they don't love the Lord. If they're not part of, not faithful to the Lord or not wanting to hear anything about the Lord. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, we need to understand that this peace that he's talking about can only be had through the blood of Christ, because that's what changes men. Go back to verse 14. Chapter 1, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Now, that's the peace of salvation. In whom we have redemption. Our sins are forgiven. The redemption is the buying of us back to God. God created us for his own glory. We ran away from God. We are the ones who are in sin. You read the first three chapters of the book of Romans and you see it, and especially chapter 1, how we have turned away from God, how mankind has gone on his own, and you see that all the way back at Cain, you see it with Adam and Eve. They turned against God, God's command, and partook of that fruit of the tree. Then Cain comes on, and he rejects the sacrifice that God wants to have made. And throughout history, man has turned his back on God. So notice, he says, we have redemption through his blood. How wonderful that is. God is buying us back. Have you accepted that payment that he has already made for your redemption, for your salvation? And he says, and look at the latter part of this verse. This is wonderful. Even the forgiveness of sins. You see, this is the first piece that you and I need. Now, we could look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7 and see this emphasized. But here in verse 14 of chapter 1 of Colossians, then verse 20, he says that we have redemption through his blood. We have peace through his blood. Let me ask you a question. Do you have peace today in your heart and life? Well, you know what? I want you to go back with me to the book of Philippians. One, in my Bible, it's one page back, but it might be a two or whatever in yours. But go back to Philippians in chapter 1. And I want you to see a couple of verses here. And we can look at this whole chapter. There's just a whole lot of things to bring out here. We're going to just look at a couple of things. Go back to verse 6. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, this is going to show us how we can have peace in all circumstances. Doesn't matter what it is. It does not matter what the situation is. That's not even in play here. I'm not to be anxious about anything but to pray. To seek the face of the Lord. Not to get what I want, but what does he want? All right, look at verse number 7. I'm to be careful for nothing but praying about everything. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. You see, it's going to keep our minds and our hearts through Christ Jesus. It's going to seal our minds, our hearts, because it is committed unto the Lord. Now, notice something. You know, I've been saying this in each of these messages. God has given us the ability to do everything that we need to do that we might be living right for him. Look at verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, the one emphasis I would make here is what he says at the latter part. He gives us all these good things to think on. But then he qualifies what we're to think on. He says, if there be any virtue, if what these things are that are true, lovely, just, and so forth, if there's no virtue in them, forget them, even though they meet those other qualifications. Virtue is that quality of character that gives us strength, excellence, or praise. It is that thing which will help our hearts as we seek to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Then also he says another thing. If there be any praise, if I can take that thing that I'm thinking on and use it for the praise of God and his work, his ministry, then I can think on it. And then he says those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You see, I'm to do. What does that mean? That means I'm to be involved in this matter of spiritual living. I can do it. You see, he wants me to get involved by doing, by obeying him. There's a lot of things that we could look at in trying to, you know, when we talk about spiritual life. But the big thing is that God has provided everything for us. And then he gives us the ability to operate within that context. Over in Psalms 119 and verse 165, something very interesting. Well, I'll go back to Psalm 64. Seven times a day do I praise thee because I love of thy righteous judgments. How often in a day do you praise the Lord? You don't have to praise him seven times. I mean, that's not a requirement. That's not saying that here's the law. You got to praise me seven times. Do you praise God one time in a day? Two? Or can you say I praise him seven times? I'm so thankful. I mean, I've known people, I've known people that they don't even think about it, but they're praising the Lord in so many different things, just thanking the Lord for what he has done for them. But now look how 165 follows on the heels of that. Seven times a day do I praise, or I praise him because of his righteous judgment. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You see, it's a matter of you and I focusing our attention on there in that particular verse, the law or the word of God. And see, that's what will bring peace. As we study the word, you know, we're told to study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, we need to study the word of God so that God can work in our hearts and in our lives to, you know, produce that spiritual life that he desires out of you and me. Look, if you will, at John, the Gospel of John, and chapter 14. You know, he starts this chapter out, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And of course, in verse 6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Then in verse 26, he talks about the comfort of the Holy Spirit, how he is with us. And in fact, it says that the Comforter, he may abide with you forever, verse 16. So you see, the basis of my peace is the presence of the Lord in my life. Now notice verse 27. This is a key verse I wanted to draw our attention to. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Going back to the very first verse, going back to where he established this fact that the peace that you and I have and we can go through life with is the peace of knowing we are his children and we're going to go to be with him. He's going to take us to be with him there in heaven. He's preparing a place for us. Heaven's a prepared place for prepared people. Let's listen to a song, and then we're going to finish up the thoughts on having peace.
Satan whispers, "There's no need to even..." even try, for there's no end to your sorrow. There's no hope by and by, but I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise,
and I'll rise beyond the tempest to a place where angry billows cease. Through it all, I'll trust in Jesus.
Amen. Everlasting peace. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about a peace that doesn't end, but a peace that continues on. Now, let's look at how this was presented to the apostles. I think that's very interesting. As we go over to John chapter 20, and looking at verse 19, he says, "And then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst." Now notice this, "and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you. Now notice, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost, that whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." Now, it didn't mean that the disciples could go out and make and say, "Well, you're full of sin yet." No, they would go out and present the word of God. If they responded positively and accepted Christ as their Savior, their sins were forgiven. But if they rejected the word of God, the message of God, the salvation of God, they would remain lost. They were in their sin, and there was not one thing further they could do. It's same as true today. I may preach the word of God, or you may preach the word of God, or teach the word of God, or witness for the Lord, handing out a tract or whatever it might be. And if somebody looks at you, and I've had them do this to me, I'm not interested in that garbage. You know, I try to talk to them and they don't want to hear it. Okay? They are still in their sin. And unless they repent, they'll die and go to a devil's hell. Now, I'm not happy about that, but it's a reality that they need to face. So you see, beloved, but what he said, again, I think you can look at the matter of peace. There ought to be peace in your heart and mine as we go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. And if they reject it, there's still peace. I'm not happy about what they've done, that they've rejected what I've tried to present to them. But I'm not going to live in a defeated attitude and feel morbid because I didn't get that decision for Christ. I'm to present the Word of God. And by the grace of God, an individual will call upon the Lord. Their sins are forgiven. You know, there's not a greater feeling insofar as working with people than to see people either respond in the matter of salvation and call upon the Lord, or as a Christian, they've gotten victory over some kind of a sin in their lives or a situation in their lives that maybe hasn't become sin yet. They've gotten a victory over that and see the smile and the joy that's in their on their face and in their heart. Why, that is such a wonderful thing and a privilege for us to be able to be involved in that. Now, notice again in Colossians chapter 1, and I'm not going to try to get to the next point. We're going to be looking at several other verses here in the next couple of weeks. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. You see, it's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all sin. But it's also the blood of Jesus Christ that provides us with that access to God, that peace of God, the provision that God makes for each one of his own children. Now, do you know him through that, through the blood? Have you received him as your personal Savior? Over in chapter 2 of Colossians, there's an interesting verse. He's talking about Christ. Let's just read those first three verses. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and that mystery of God is the church, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You see, the peace that God gives us is to understand his word and the unfolding of it. My friend, if we might be of help to you, share with you how you can be saved, we would love to do that. Possibly we can share with you how you might grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Please contact us at Message of Truth, 315 40th Street, Altoona, Pennsylvania, 16602, USA. Or contact us at wotbm.org. That's the email. God bless you, my friend.